Good morning. Oh, how good it is to be in the house of the Lord and to see all of your beautiful smiling faces. I'm Minister Aubrey Ramsey. I've been here with you before, and I am delighted to have the opportunity to come again, spend this day with you. I'd like you, if you will, to stand with me for the invocation, please. Almighty and everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, grant to us purity of heart, strength of purpose, so that we may seek thy will and do it without faltering, for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son. And the church will help me say amen. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
up with Tim White. Whew. Good morning, church. I am always excited and blessed when I have the opportunity to come to First Congregational Christian Church. I want you to know that I don't take this opportunity lightly. I want you to know that I appreciate your calling me when you need assistance in the pulpit. Like everybody else, preachers go through their issues, and B knows my situation with the eyes and all that, and cataract surgery and all these things, but I've always tried to keep my word. So I'm delighted to be here today. I want you to go with me, though, to the book of Hebrews. Go to the book of Hebrews, if you will, and we're going to take verses 1 and 2 for our text today from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Father, we thank you now for what we have, our ears have heard and our eyes have seen in this service. We thank you for what you've done for us all this week and what you're going to do next week and the week after that. For you are a great and merciful God. We thank you for this opportunity. We ask now that you will hide me behind the cross. Let this congregation hear your word. Let them see you and not me. These and all of the blessings we ask in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I call this message, I think you better let it go. I think you better let it go. If you were called into court today and accused of being a child of God, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You see, this Christian journey is a difficult one to run. In fact, if you're honest with God, you will admit that there are some days when you wonder if it's all worth it. If you wonder if it's worth the trials and the tribulations that you must endure. By now, you have found out that there is a real devil. Not some little man in a red suit with a pitchfork and a tail, but a real devil. And his only purpose is to destroy you and to destroy me, and to keep us from reaching the promises and receiving the promises that God has for our lives. The writer of Hebrews gives a powerful revelation here, and he explains to us that God is always actively involved in our lives. God never begins a thing without the end in mind. After all, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. And even though the circumstances may be difficult in your life and in mine, we must still run the race that God has set before us. You must keep your eyes on the prize, knowing that it won't be long before what God promised comes to pass. I have come this morning to let you know that if there is anything or anybody that's hindering you, stopping you from running the race that God has set before you, I think you better give it up. I think you better let it go. The first thing I want you to see here is the witnesses of the brethren. And that word brethren here doesn't mean male or female. It means the ones who are part of that community of faith. It means those who have survived great ordeals and are now our witnesses. Verse 1 says, wherefore seeing. That means that we are compassed about, he says, with a great cloud of witnesses. Those who are there to encourage us to run with patience this race that has been set before us. It is important that we understand that one of the greatest weapons of the enemy is to make you think that you are the only person going through whatever you're going through. The record is filled with those who are part of the biblical antiquity that we talk about all the time. Those who speak to us from the grandstand of eternity. Those who have gone through trials and tribulations, and now they have become our witnesses. John the Beloved says in chapter 21 and verse 25, he says, everything that happened was not recorded. But that which was recorded is meant to be an example for you and for me. The writer says, seeing. It takes faith to see them, because if you don't have faith, you begin to look at your circumstances and you begin to walk by sight and not by faith. Hebrews 11 and 1 declares that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because those who come to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 reveals what we call the hall of faith. These are the ones who have endured great trials and tribulations, and by their faith, they overcame. Their testimony lets us know that if you're going through something right now, and it seems impossible, you ought to ask somebody who's already run the race. I hear Abraham saying, ask me. I'm somebody. I was old and I didn't know how it was going to happen. My wife Sarah was old and we didn't know how it was going to happen. But God promised us a child in our old age. Remember? God took me on a mountain one day and told me to kill my only son. I took out the knife and I was ready to kill my son, and God sent an angel to tap me on the shoulder and tell me to look over in the thicket. And there was a ram caught in that thicket, and that ram took the place of my son. God made a way out of no way, and he coined the phrase, Jehovah Jireh, my God will provide. Genesis 22 and 14. If Noah were here today, he'd tell you, ask me. I'm somebody. By faith, God told me to build an ark. I was building the ark when the meteorologist said it wasn't going to rain. In fact, if you study it a little bit, you'll find out they had never even seen rain. But God said, build an ark. But God told me it was going to rain, and they laughed at me. They mocked me, and they scorned me. But I'm here to tell you today that God vindicated me, My family and I were saved from the flood. If Rahab were here today, she'd tell you that they said I was the hostess of Jericho. I was the owner of the Dewdrop Inn. And one day I heard the holiness of Jehovah, and I lay aside the weight and the sin that was so easily besetting me. And because of my faith, I am one of only two women that are named in the Hall of Faith. I am the great, great, great grandmother of King David and an ancestor of the Lord Jesus. I hear old man Job saying, you can ask me, I'm somebody. If you lose everything, if you lose your money and your family, if you lose all your friends, God is still working it out for you. Job will tell you that with sickness in his body, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, all of my appointed time, I will wait until my change comes. Wait a minute. You don't have to walk through biblical antiquity. All you really got to do is talk to somebody on your pew. Somebody in this house this morning can tell you, you want to know if God will make a way out of no way, you can ask me. Somebody can tell you if you want to know if God can heal your body and make you well, you can ask me. You want to know if God can put gas in your car when you're a student trying to get back and forth to class, ask me. You want to know if God can pay your tuition when you don't know where the money's coming from, ask me. You want to know if God can put food on your table? Ask me. And I'll tell you, yes, he can. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. The book says, wherefore, seeing that we have this great cloud of witnesses, these saints that have gone on before us, you're not the only one that's going through whatever you're going through. You're not the only one who's ever been broke. We know how it is to be broke. Read the book. There's a whole lot of folks in there that's been broke. You're not the only one that's had a bill due and didn't know where the money was coming from. Read the book. You're not the only one that's had somebody break your heart. Read the book. You're not the only one who's been betrayed. Read the book. You're not the only one who's been hurt by church folks. Just read the book. Oh, I know it gets rough sometimes, but you are going to survive this. You are going to dry your eyes, lift your head up, square your shoulders, and encourage yourself. You got to learn how to tell yourself, I think I better what? Let it go. Let it go. The second thing I want you to see is that he says, lay aside every weight that so easily beset us. Now, in order to run this race, you got to get rid of some excess baggage. You wonder what's preventing you from getting to where God has for you? What's the problem? Why aren't things going the way they should? I'll tell you why. And let me slow this down. Many of us are too busy trying to accommodate people, things, places, you name it, that God never intended for us to accommodate. We're busy trying to give somebody else this and give them that, and God never told us to do that. We have to know that we are hearing his voice. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. When you are in a right relationship with God, when you spend time with God, he will reveal to you who you really are. He will reveal to you who he created you to be. He says, lay aside every weight. In other words, it's not that you can't run with the weight, but you can run so much better without the weight. You see, the weight is anything that's hindering you. It can be sociological, it can be psychological, it can be economical, it can be spiritual. Weight can be folks, Wait can be friends, family, failures. Wait is just mess that keeps you from sharing the real message of Jesus Christ. Wait is a job that you should have never accepted in the first place. Wait. It suffers. It's the stuff that makes us angry and has us angry with the world, because we're doing what God told us not to do and never gave us permission to do. We've got to learn to lay aside the weight. Many of us are tired because we're still talking about some mistake we made when we were 12 years old. Some of us are tired because we're still talking about something that happened way back in 1966. We have this thing about rehearsing the pain of our past. God says, no, look to me, I am your future. I hold your future. We let people, their problems weigh us down. And this is the time in our lives where we have got to put away foolishness. It's time to get negative people from around us. And we are going to be positive. And if we're not progressive, we need to move away from them. Now let me help you out. And I'm going to try to speed this up for you. There's a way to say goodbye to people. I'm just going to use a few of them. Let's try this out. Adios. Au revoir. Arrivederci. Ciao. Hasta la vista. How about this one? Gladys Knight said, farewell, my love. Goodbye. How about sayonara? Toodaloo. Ta-ta. Godspeed. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, what? One from another. Shalom. Somebody understands what I'm saying. Then he says that we have to set aside this sin that so easily besets us. Sin means to miss the mark. That word means to miss the mark. Go through the Bible and you'll find out that there's 745 different sins mentioned in the Bible. When a Christian sins, we not only suffer the loss of light, we suffer loss of our joy, loss of our righteousness, our love, our fellowship, our confidence, our health, and our physical life. I'm here today to tell you that whatever is holding you back from doing what you know God told you to do, I think you better let it go. Finally, in verse 2, he says, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. It's important, church, that we stay focused, because the devil is good at sending what I call demonic distractions. Don't let anything or anyone cause you to turn away from the God who brought you this far along the way. When you were born a finished work. God knew it and the devil knew it. That's why the devil's trying so hard to kill you as soon as you got in the world. But if we keep living, and we have done so far, keep on living, we get closer and closer to what God has promised us. The devil knows that. He knows that he can't take it away. So his strategy is to get us to give it up to him. Whatever you have been believing God for, church, is already done. You've got to get that revelation. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this one thing, that which has begun a good work with you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is keep walking in what God has ordained for your life. He said, look into Jesus, who endured the cross. Why did Jesus endure the cross? Because he saw the end from the beginning. He endured the cross because he knew he would have victory. He knew that victory was his if he just held on to the instructions his Father had given him. And then I must add that Jesus is God. He understood the end from the beginning. So now when you and I run our races, or when I run my race, I decided I better not look at you. Because I might get discouraged. I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. If I look at Jesus, he's going to give me the power I need. When you find yourself weak and you find that you can't go on, you have to look to someone who gives you strength. The Bible says, even the youth shall faint, remember, and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait, help me, on the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. People are looking at you, wondering how it is you're still standing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How are you still enduring? It's not my strength. My strength left a long time ago. It is his strength that has made me perfect in my weakness. Not only that, but I found out that God gives me his power. He gives me his presence. Sometimes when you run your race, it seems like you're out there all by yourself. It seems like when you're doing what God wants you to do, you're all alone. You have to know that God is right there by your side. I like what the writer says in Psalm 139. He says, where shall I go from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That's why he's Jehovah Shammah. He is the Lord who is always there. Not only do I have his power and his presence, but he is my provision. That's why I look to him and not to people. You make decisions based on whether you like the person or not. So look to God. The Bible says clearly that God is no respecter of person. Acts 10 and 34, and he says he loves me with an unconditional love. I have never gone to him, and he didn't take care of me. And I've been going to him for a long time, and I can testify this morning that he is always taking care of me. Songwriter says, I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. My God takes good care of me, and I can look and see that he takes good care of you. I thank God for his power, his presence, and his provision. But in order to successfully run my race, I'm glad this morning that he gave me a promise. There's a promise in John 14 that says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, he says, to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I come again, I will take you with me. And so I want you, I'm closing, but I want you to tell the angels now. They can go ahead on and get my mansion ready. I have decided, I made my mind up, that I'm not going to let anything and anybody take me away from this God who's been so good to me. I am determined to see this Jesus. He's coming back. I know he's coming back. And I'm going to run this race blind, crippled, and crazy. I'm going to run this race just like he asked me to do. I want you to know that I may not get there when you get there, but I'm on my way. You see, the race is not given to the swift, nor to the strong, but to the one who endures to the end. I may be blind, Ted. I may be crippled, I may be crazy, but I'm going to see this Jesus who bled and died for me. There's some things that I may not know. I need that voice. There's some places that I may not go. But I'm sure of this one thing, that my God is real. I can feel it in my soul. Doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Is there one who will come today? Doors of the church are open. God bless you, church. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.